John chapter 11. And I heard a young boy talking yesterday, and he couldn't remember the account of Lazarus. And that wasn't what I was going to preach on, but I want to just preach on that for just a few minutes. But while I was thinking about that, they had all the shopping for Christmas and everything, and you know, the places were packed. I know the retailers were happy. But I want to ask you a question. You don't have to just think what your answer would be. Is, you know, who is Christ? Who is Christ? You know, if you look in the Bible, there's lots of different accounts. I mean, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. But who is He? Over in John, this chapter 11, verse 25, it says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But what are some of the other names of Christ? You can think of maybe Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, which is God with us, the Good Shepherd, Savior. You know, I have a tie that my wife gave me a long time ago when we were at a singing school out in West Texas. And on this tie, it's got just a list. It would go good with the suit. I know this. Noah gave me this tie, so I had to wear it today, even though it didn't go with the suit, okay? But on this tie, it actually would match his suit. It's got all the names of God. It's got King of Kings, Prince of Peace. It's got, not all of them, but it has a lot of listed on this tie. And I like wearing that tie. Sometimes I still have it, but it's getting kind of worn because my wife gave it to me. Plus, it has the names, some of the names of Jesus Christ listed right there on front. But Jesus Christ said that He is the resurrection and the life. There was a passage of Scripture over in the book of Daniel, verse 12, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It kind of, you know, that might make some people's bones chill just a little bit. But you know what? It can be, you can have thanks, you can have joy, if you're a Christian, because you know where your life comes from. You know that Christ is the author of life. He said all things were made by Him. Anything made, that was made. You know, He's not only the author of natural life, He's the author of spiritual life. How can a person that's dead in sins be made alive? How can they be quickened? How can they have spiritual life in this world right here? How can they have a love of God? Remember, the only reason that a person has that loves God at all, that you might love God, if you love God today, is because that of Christ. You have been infused with the Spirit of God. You've been made alive. Your soul's been made alive. You have a soul. You have a heart now. You didn't have a heart before, a spiritual heart. You didn't care about any kind of spiritual things. It's not because you've studied. It's not because you've read. It's nothing that you've done. It's all by the work of the Holy Spirit of God giving you life. And then when you do read or you hear the gospel preached, then it seems to make sense. We heard a little bit about the Apostle Paul. They played a movie last night, and it's kind of a modern-day Paul, I guess, a little bit, not really, because he was a hockey player, you know, but I don't think Paul played hockey. But I will let them know that for Kim and Noah that Paul did use sports analogies. He said, I'll use a sports analogy, and if I think of one, I will. But, you know, Hebrews chapter 12, you know, Paul used it compared it to our race as being run as a runner would run. Well, Jesus Christ has given us this life. What are we going to do with it? If we have spiritual life, are we going to live for Him? Are we going to give Him the glory? What are we going to do with this life? This is the time. People have talked about, Brother Edwin's gotten up a couple times and talked about thanks, about some of these meetings that we had at Whitehaven. I mean, this is a perfect time to give thanks. I love the holidays. It gives us a perfect time to praise God. It's a wonderful time to give thanks, isn't it? Because let's talk about Thanksgiving. And who is we should be giving these thanks to? Brother Edwin's been saying it. We should be giving it to God. Praise God. Yes, sir. He is the author of that. He's the one that's given it to us. He is the one that can do it. Well, this count over in John chapter 11, verse 25, about Lazarus. If you remember the story, I'll just go back for just a moment. So, because I want the children to be able to know what's going on. Children, I want you to know, and every person here, there's a man named Lazarus. He was a real man. This is really a man. He had two sisters. He had one named Mary. He had one named Martha. And these are really true people. And what happened is this man got very sick. He had a very hot fever. He had a very bad disease. And he died. He died. And you know what they said? Jesus said he heard about Lazarus being sick, but he didn't go over there. He didn't go over there. He knew he was sick. You know, he waits 2 days, you know, and he tells his disciples, he says, okay, now we're going to go to Bethany, because he lived in a town called Bethany. And so he went over to Bethany, and he said, well, Lazarus is asleep. And he said, well, Lord, he's doing good if he's sleeping, you know. He said, no, you don't understand. Not that kind of sleeping, not resting. He said he plainly had to tell them, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. And we're going to go over there. So they walk up, they go over there because they didn't have any other way to get there. They had to walk over there. It's not too far. You know, back then, if you walked 25 miles, that was just, you know, like next door. So they walked over there to Bethany. They went over to Bethany, and Martha said, you know, Jesus, if you had gotten here, our brother Lazarus would still be alive. But man, he's been dead 4 days now. 4 days. How come you didn't come? And Jesus could have come. You know, Jesus could have come and saved her. Could have woken him up. And she said, he said unto them, where have ye laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. And said, Jesus wept. You don't think Christ is concerned with your problems? You don't think Christ cares about you? You know the very dust of our body when it dies? You know it's in the care of Lord Jesus Christ? Even your dust, he cares about that. He cares about your dust. Your soul, but he's already there with him. But your dust. You think God doesn't care about his creation? But he's even there when a sparrow falls. He knows. He knows every hair that's numbered on our head. And I know we probably don't make jokes when people go bald and stuff. But you know, he knows how many hairs you have or don't have. He knows everything about you. He is intimately acquainted with you. He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, sometimes they say, you know, the wife knows him better than he knows himself. And that's true. Well, God knows you better than you know yourself. He cares about you. He wouldn't have sent his son, the very best thing, the only sacrifice for sin, to come and die for you if he didn't care about you. He would have said, boys, you get out there, you give it your best shot, and give it the college try, and if you make it, you make it. If you don't, you don't. Guess what? We none of us would have made it. That's why when people say, you know, you've got to do your part, then you say they don't understand that they're really sinners. Because, see, God can't take a sinful sacrifice. Remember, even in the Old Testament, they couldn't take a sinful sacrifice. They couldn't take a lamb that had a blemish or a spot on it. They couldn't just get rid of the, you know, three-legged lamb that was crippled that they didn't really want and give it to God. No. They had to get the very best one, the first. They had to get the very best offering. God doesn't want our seconds. God doesn't want your leftovers. He don't want our leftovers. He wants the very best from us. Isn't that amazing? He requires the best because he has given the best. He's already set the example. He is not doing something. He's not requiring something of us that he hasn't already done. He's already done it. He had planned out in advance before the world was even created how it was going to be accomplished to a very jot and tittle. How everyone, it was going to carry the entire plan out. He left nothing to chance because what if you leave something to chance? Then, if you leave something to chance, you may not be able to accomplish your choice. Like they talked about the flood. What if a flood came up and you weren't able to cross over? What if you couldn't cross a road? You've seen people try to drive through roads. Those people in the Philippines apparently got caught in the floods. There was dead bodies floating around there. That lady got caught in the bus. So that we can't leave things to chance. But I want to tell you, you know, when God makes a promise, when God tells us something is true, He's able to carry it out. You know, I can make a claim, and you always hear these sports people making claims, you know, how they're going to, you know, beat this other team, how good they are, all the good qualities they have. Well, I don't know if y'all ever watched the Dallas Cowboys, but in Texas, we watch the Dallas Cowboys. You know, and some days they look like they can beat any team, and then sometimes they look like they couldn't beat a Pee Wee team. You know, you don't know who's going to show up. What characteristics do they have? Well, I'm going to tell you, the characteristics of God is, have you ever heard of a person that's a perfectionist? Why are they trying to be a perfectionist? Because they're not perfect. Have you ever heard of a person called, you know, OCD? You know, they've got to try to get everything in place. Why are they trying to be so organized? Because they're not that organized. They're pretty organized. They can't get everything. You heard of a germophobia? They're always cleaning germs and all the time cleaning counters. If something falls, guess what? I hate to tell them they got germs all in their body, you know, and they're not going to be able to kill all the germs. Try as they might. Not that saying you should be clean. And I'm not saying you shouldn't wash your hands. You should. A lot of people are sick. You should be washing your hands lots of times. 20 seconds, I believe in all that. But you know what? You still can't kill all the germs. Your body is made by God, and it's made to be able to withstand some things. Some people get really sick, and they have autoimmune problems, and their body can't fight diseases. And then it's a very sad thing because they're so susceptible to all sorts of diseases. Well, Christ has said He is the resurrection and the life. What is resurrection? Y'all know what resurrection is? Does anybody know what resurrection is? It's raising a dead person. All right? Somebody's dead. They're being raised up. Can God, Christ, do that? Of course He can. He can do it. And He's going to prove what He can do. You know, many people say they make claims, but Christ can make a claim and He can back this claim up right here. Let's read these few verses and we'll be done. It says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of them that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by the time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He didn't just die. He's been dead 4 days. We've heard of the Lazarus syndrome. But you know what? I've never heard anybody coming back to life 4 days later. I work in the hospital. I've seen people, we coded them. They die. You know, the first one I had scared me to death. You know, we're in the ICU, and I was a pretty new nurse and stuff. We coded this guy, coded him, couldn't bring him back. You know, and somebody had left him on the monitor. They had two monitors, and they turned one off, but I guess they forgot to turn the other one on. And, you know, or they turned back one, and one guy said, you know, he just doesn't look dead. And he turned it back on, and poop, whoa, he's still alive, you know. This guy, he was dead. We checked the pulse, everything. Didn't have a pulse. We were having to breathe for him, and we didn't reintubate him again. But you know what? He lived for a little bit. He didn't live for very long, but he did live for just a little bit. They call that the Lazarus syndrome. When a person comes back to life, they've been dead. It's happened a few times to me. It's a pretty strange thing to have someone that you think is dead and already come back to life. We won't get into that part of discussion, but I'm just saying, clinically, they said they were dead. The doctor said they were dead, but they weren't because they had a heartbeat and they were still breathing. Well, this didn't happen. You know, this is not the Twilight Zone or something like this. This really happened. He's dead. He's 4 days. His body's decomposing. He's stinking. It smells awful in there. See, the Jews didn't take away the stone, but why did Christ have the stone taken away? Couldn't He just command it the stone and it would just roll away? Of course He could have, but He wants them to be able to see the corpse. He wants to see that, smell the smell. He wants you to really to see that what He's actually doing right here. He wants the glory to go to God. He wants the disciples to believe. He wants to see the glory and the power of God here on this earth because Christ is coming back in the general resurrection. He is going to take all His people home. They all will be called up. Isn't it amazing that He demonstrates His power right now? That He is able to do what He has claimed? Because the very foundation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the very, very foundation of a Christian. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. Because I'm telling you, I'm not serving a dead Savior. There's lots of different religions in this world, and they all have the people, they're all dead. They're either made of stone, they're those little short guys, you know, made of stone, or there's some old guy that died 100, 200, 1,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and they're worshiping him, but I'm telling you, he's dead. None of them have come back to life. Christ is alive. He's alive right at this very moment. And he says, and this is the same Christ that's going to raise up Lazarus from the death. A dead man for 4 days, Luke. 4 days, he's going to raise him up. And he says, Jesus said to him, said not unto thee, that thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He's telling her this right here. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's telling this in the midst of all these people so they can hear. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. He could have said it in a quiet voice. He could have just thought it and it would have happened. He could have just wanted it to happen. It's happening. But he specifically is going to call one person. And he's going to call him and he's going to cry with a loud voice so everyone can hear him. Everybody's going to hear him say exactly. What if he said, you can't hear that, can you? But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And guess what happened? Did he kind of twitch, jerk around a little bit, and they do CPR on him? Nope. Did he kind of say, oh, well, thought finger move? Nope. Guess what? He stood up, and guess what? He couldn't walk. Was something wrong with his leg? No. Guess what? He was wound all the way up with grave clothes, and he had a napkin they set around his head. It's kind of like a cloth deal. They keep it so he mouth it, and it's not open. So they... You know, you ever watch Scrooge, you'll see his little thing around his head. You know, just put it right there if you watch it, remember that part, okay? But he's wound all the way up with cloths, swaddling cloths, like to swaddle a baby. They did the same with grave clothes. He couldn't move. He was bound up like this. And he came forth. They said to loose him and to let him go. I want to tell you what, Christ is coming back. If you've been born by the Spirit of God, he's saying, loose him and let him go. You can be loose from a body of sin where you have to serve only sin. You don't have to. I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful state to have a warfare in your soul. You say, brother, I've been struggling over this. I know what I should do. You know the right thing to do. But you're wanting to do this. You're saying, I'm not sure what I should do. I want to tell you what my mother used to tell me. If you think it's wrong, it is wrong. Okay? You just go by that. Our brother Richard's mother probably told him something similar. If you have to think about it, you know it's really wrong. You just want to do it, okay? So it is wrong. Don't do it. Yeah. Serve God. You know, the Nike commercial says, just do it. Well, let's just do it. Let's just serve God and give him the glory.